Take your Bibles and go to the book of John, John chapter 1. God has been good in giving us the opportunity to minister at West Virginia University. A mission field of 30,000 people is exactly what it is. And we're able to be a light to them as much as we can. We have between 20 to 25 students that meet on Monday nights for Bible study. And we have a good time with them as we get into God's Word there on campus. It's called Campus Light Ministries. And we are doing a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, Lord willing, in April. We're going to use that as an outreach. And we rented out the student center from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we're going to invite those guys to come and have a 3-on-3 tournament. And then in the middle of that, preach to them the gospel and share the gospel with them and just encourage them in those things. We had a progressive dinner for our Christmas gathering before everybody went home for the semester. And we had a boy come that we know. He's never really come to our Bible studies, but he's been part of the group for different activities. And we were having a testimony time, all sitting in a circle in my basement, and we were having a testimony time together. And the testimony time was rich. And this young man said, "I'd like to say something," which shocked us all because he's very quiet. And he said, "I might ruin the atmosphere here, I'm not sure, but listen to what I have to say." He said, "I was an atheist, now I consider myself an agnostic. It's not that I don't believe in God, but I'm just not sure about all the aspects and ramifications of a God." He said, "But I'm here tonight because of what you have." He said, "I don't know what it is." He said, "I don't understand it. But I respect and I admire you." He said, "You are real. And what you have and the fun that you have and the way that you carry yourselves is real." And he said, "I want you to pray for me because I want to find out what it is that you have." He said, "What you have could impact West Virginia University like nothing else." He said, "You know, all my friends in the engineering department and where I am, they're just like me. They're searching for something, but they don't know what it is they're looking for." And he said, "And you have it." He said, "If you would just use that even more on campus, you could make a huge impact on our campus." I thought, wow, you know, what a statement. What a statement. And so we were all, nobody knew what to say. He didn't ruin the atmosphere. He just changed the atmosphere completely. But, you know, there's students like that all over. They're searching for something. They don't know what it is. And if we carry ourselves in that manner of Christ, they will see Christ in us. You know, going on in verse 27, what's the mystery, Paul says? The mystery, verse 27, it's Christ in you. You know, what's new in this dispensation? It is the church. But what makes the church unique? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And because now Christ is in us through the Spirit of God, he can shine forth from us. And hopefully they see Christ in us and give them hope and that glory. Well, this morning, as I'm here, I do want to bring greetings from Morgantown Faith Baptist Church, Morgantown Christian Academy. How many elementary, do I have any elementary education majors here? Where are you? Raise your hands. Okay, any seniors? No seniors yet? Okay, a couple. Okay, I'll probably be looking for at least one or two L-Ed teachers this year. The school is, we jumped in enrollment 45% last year, and it looks like we're going to have another record-breaking year this year in our school, and I'm at least hiring one third-grade teacher, maybe if we keep going, a fifth-grade teacher. We're going to separate those two classes. We'll be no longer third and fourth. It'll be third, fourth, and Lord willing, fifth, sixth, and if we are going with high school the way we are, I might need an English teacher as well. If somebody's interested in that, you see me or see Dr. Anderson, and you can get in touch with me and send me your resume if you would like to do so. All right, so our ministry to WVU is unique, and we are there to help these kids that come from Christian homes, that come from Christian environments, and they land on campus, and they find themselves in an environment like they've never seen before in their lives. We had one young man arrive on campus. It was late August, early September. And as he arrived on campus, he was kind of naive to WVU. He was in the ROTC, and they had a great engineering program, an ROTC program at WVU. So that's what led him to go to WVU. And so he arrived on campus, and he was in the Stalenaker dorms, and he went up into his dorms and got in, was unpacking his clothes and settling in his dorm room. His closet was about as big as this podium right here. Not much of anything as far as a closet. And so he's unpacking what little things he has. And it's hot. You know, it's late August, it's early September, and he finds out there's no air conditioning in his dorm room. And so the only air that he's going to get, and the only way to stay cool, you know, is to open up the window. So he opens up his window, and the air starts to come in, and he's unpacking. And as the evening rolls on, so does the noise level outside. And as the noise starts to increase, AJ says, wonder what is going on out there. And so AJ comes out of his dorm, walks down the hallway, goes outside, and as he steps outside of his dorm, he sees all these houses that he had no idea what they were until now. And AJ's dorm faced frat house row, okay? So all the frat houses are right across from his dormitory. And he walks outside and he sees all these things going on the lawn and all this alcohol consumption and all the, it's indescribable what happens, okay, those first weeks of school. Well, the first weekend the students arrived on campus, there were 423 arrests, let's put it that way. Okay, 423 arrests in Morgantown. So he goes out and he's seeing all this go on. And he said, and his testimony is, I walked outside and I saw everything that was happening around me. And I said out loud, I've got to find a church. And so AJ walks back into his dorm room, gets on the computer, looks for churches, finds our church, gets my number, and he calls me. And he says, hey, Pastor, you know, I'm from a little town, Ohio, Salem Bible Church, and I know Salem Bible Church up in Ohio. And he said, I said, okay, I'm familiar with that ministry. And he said, I'm a student at WVU. I'm an engineering major. And he said, Pastor, I need a church. And I said, well, AJ, it's your lucky day, man. We're getting together with our college students, going to Pizza Hut tonight for pizza and hanging out. Do you want to come? Yes, I want to come. And so we went and re-rescued him off campus, and we took him down to Pizza Hut. But AJ's statement will be the title of my message. I think you guys had chapel notebooks. If you're taking notes, that's great. I apologize for no PowerPoint to help you along the way, but this should be an easy notes to follow. The title of my message is this: I need a church. I need a church. You know, we are living, especially your generation, in a day where college kids do not see the need or the necessity of a local church. You know, what's the point of a church? I was somewhere here from North Carolina. I came to West Virginia from Greensboro, North Carolina. And there in Greensboro, North Carolina, we had a church on every corner. Within 5 minutes of the church that I served in, there were 5 to 6 independent Baptist churches, okay? All of which we would go to, all of which we could partake in worship in, all of which we fellowshipped with. Within 5 minutes. It's hard to say from 15 to 30. There were churches everywhere. And what that allowed many of our college students to do was just float. They were floaters from church to church. Some we call groupies because it all depended on who was singing the special music at whatever church, you know. Oh, so-and-so's singing there tonight. Come on, guys, let's all go there. And so-and-so's singing here. Let's go there. And you could never really count on some of your college kids who you wanted to see in church, they wouldn't be in church, and then you text them and you say, where are you? Well, I'm over at such and such church. Or so-and-so singing here, we're over there tonight. And they were floating from church to church. And you say, but Pastor Spicer, what's the big deal? It's still the church. Well, the big deal is this: the Lord has saved you, and I hope you're saved if you're here this morning. If you're not, that's the first step. But if the Lord has saved you, He saved you to serve, okay? You are saved to serve, not to sit, not to soak, not to sour, but to serve. And the thing is, you are saved to serve, and your service has been ordained by God to be service through the local church. And so as we consider being servants of God, that service comes through the entity of the local church. Many of you are very gifted. I heard the piano playing when I came in. I heard violins going. I see the orchestra here. And God has given you so many gifts and abilities. God has given you, some of you, gifts and abilities in technology, okay? And it's my kids. I have 4 children. My oldest girl is 10, my youngest girl is 5, and I have 2 boys who are 7 and 8. So I have a very exciting house and a lot of Nerf bullets laying around. And you know, as with the kids, they have their little, you know, my old iPhones that they can go with. My 2-year-old could grab my iPad and she can't read, but she knows how to hit OK. She knows what swipe is. She knows the password. She didn't know what numbers were, but she knew my password and she could get right into my iPad. No problem at 2 years old. I'll never be able to catch up with him with technology. And many of you could use that technology and use those gifts in the church. You know, your pastor doesn't know the difference between, you know, face tweet or Insta snap or whatever it is, right? they don't know. And you can help them along those ways. Pastor, we need to set up a Facebook page. Go for it. You know, hey, we need to start tweeting. But whatever that is, you can go ahead and start tweeting and using some of those gifts. But where do you use them? Use them in the local church. But the thing is, many of us are using them, but it's in vain because we're not using them for the Lord in the local church. Have you ever walked out of a store? Let's say, have you ever walked out of Walmart and jumped in your car and realized, this is not my car? Anybody ever done that? Okay, I have, right? I'm always in a hurry. It's a fault of mine. I never have time to sit and just enjoy things. My mind is always going. And so I'm in Walmart and I'm grabbing some things and I'm running out and I get out of Walmart and I jump in my car and I grab the key and I put it in the car and I can't get the key. What is going on? Why won't my car start? There is a problem and I'm frustrated and all of a sudden my senses start to kick in. This doesn't smell like my car. My car usually smells like French fries with 4 kids. This doesn't smell like my car. This, I don't drink Pepsi. What's this Pepsi doing in the holder here? Uh-oh, I'm not in my Subaru. I'm in somebody else's Subaru. And I just kind of jump out and walk away and act like nothing ever happened, right? Well, my brother did that one time, and his wife was waiting for him in their minivan, and he jumped in the car, and it was not his wife sitting there. It was another woman. And he jumped in the car and looked at, you're not my wife. And he's like, she said, no, I'm not. And phew, there he went right out of the car and jumped. You know, it didn't do him any good to be in the car. It wasn't his car. We made a mistake. You know, many of us have these gifts. We have these abilities, if you will. You have the key to service, but you're in the wrong car. Okay? You're not using these gifts and abilities the way that you could in the local church. Some of you are content to show, we have these college kids. You know, the church starts at 11. About 10 after 11, they show up. They slip in and sit down beside their girlfriend or the girl that they like. And then church is over and pew, out the side door they go. They are not contributing to the church. See, what they are is they are a consumer. God has not called us to be consumers. He's called us to be manufacturers. Okay, He's called us to be producers. And God does not want you to show up in church, consume what you can consume, and get out. You know, to show up after the worship is over because you don't want to be a producer of the worship. Just take and go. That's not His plan. That's not His purpose. The purpose of the church, the purpose of your salvation is to be a producer, to get into the local church and start serving in the local church. Young people, Christ loves the church. Ephesians chapter 5 says, Christ loved the church and He gave what? Himself for her. He loved the church so much, and I know Christ came into the world, and I know all of that, but Paul puts it down into perspective when he says he loved the church, and he gave himself for it. Well, Pastor Spicer, again, that's the universal church. All the churches, okay. Maybe twice in your New Testaments when the word church is mentioned, we're talking about a universal church, maybe. And we could argue that Matthew 16, if we want to dispensationally, Ephesians chapter 4. And then other than that, when the word church is found in your Bible, it's referring to the indigenous local church. Who was the book of Colossians written to? The church at Colossae. The book of Philippians was written to the church at Philippi. Right. To the local church. And Christ loves the local church. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Wait a second. Was Saul persecuting Jesus? No. Jesus had already been persecuted. Jesus had already died. Who was Saul persecuting? He was persecuting who? Those local individual groups of believers, those small churches. But when Christ appears to him, he doesn't say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church? Why are you persecuting the churches? Why are you persecuting who? Me. Me. That's the emphasis that Christ has for the local church. Campus Light is not a local church. Your small group Bible study is not a local church. Your Bible study in the mornings of your dormitory is not a local church. I do not perform church discipline on the kids that come to my Bible study on Monday nights. Okay? Nor do I offer communion because it's not a church. It's a parachurch, if you want to call it that, organization, but it's not the church. And I tell my young people all the time, you need to be in church. You need to get into a local church. You need to serve in that church. The church needs you as much as you need the church. We had a young couple meet in our Campus Light ministry. And both of them were single, and God brought them together, and you know, everybody's praying they get together, and finally they did, and they started dating. Well, it wasn't very long into their dating relationship that the young lady found out that this man was obsessed with soccer, loved it. And but he was in with football, okay? It was the real deal with him. He was a FIFA nut. And he would get up in the early hours of the morning to watch the matches, and so, but she, you know, early in their relationship, wanted to love what he loved and wanted to be involved in those conversations. So you know what she did? She started to watch soccer. She got on the internet and she started to research these soccer teams. You know, who's Manchester United? So she started to look it up. She started to look up the players. She started to look up the managers. You know, this guy had the app where he manages his team, you know, all the time, and he is into it. And so she started to study and she started to learn about soccer because she wanted to love what this man who she loved, loved. And so she learned about soccer. They've been married now. She could care less. But that was to get him. You know, she was in love. Do you want to love what Christ loves? I do. I want to do what Christ wants to do. I want to have the same love, the same desires of the things that Christ loves and the things that Christ desires. And we've already said He loves the church. And if you have a true desire to love what God loves and to serve where He wants you to serve, then you must, and here's my outline this morning, you must, number one, understand your commission. You must, number two, and I'll say these again, check your ambition. You must, number three, realize your position. And then finally, number four, you must be in complete submission. If you want to love what Christ loves and you want to serve where He wants you to serve, then you must understand your commission, check your ambition, realize your position, and then be in complete submission. We got to move it, so hold on tight. John chapter 1, and we'll just pick up in verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and He findeth Philip, and saith unto him, say these next two words with me, follow me. What was the commission? The commission to the disciples was follow me. Follow me, and you know what the other passages say, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. And we know the Bible goes on and we have the Great Commission passages. You know, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We have Acts 1:8 says, you know, we're to go out. You know, you should receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. But follow me was Christ's initial command. And your commission, young people, is to follow Christ. And as we consider Acts 1:8, and we are to follow Christ to our Jerusalems and our Judeas and our Samarias and to the uttermost, that's wonderful. I love missions. Even my cufflinks this morning are the globe. Okay, I've been to India twice. I've been to the Philippines. I've been to Africa, St. Vincent Islands, Hawaii. I love missions. And as we consider missions, what's the key? Well, we got to be witnesses. Well, we got to baptize. The key is you'll receive power because who's going to come upon you? The Holy Ghost. The key is the Spirit of God. Your commission is to follow Christ, but that can only happen through the Spirit of God. And that's why in John chapter 13, 14, and 15, Christ says, I've got to go so the Spirit can come. And it's going to be so much greater because now it is going to be Christ in you. Now I'm not going to leave you. I'm always going to be with you. And it's through the Spirit of God. The key to the commission is the Spirit of God. J. Oswald Sanders, in his book, Spiritual Leadership, says this, being filled with the Spirit is the indispensable requirement of spiritual leadership. Being filled with the Spirit is the indispensable requirement of spiritual leadership. Young people, it's not so much of what you have of the Spirit, but it's what the Spirit has of you. The key is the Spirit of God. Number two, the Spirit needs the key to your life. The Spirit needs the key to your life. We have lots of company. We love the local church. We love church people. We got a house. Just you can see the church from my house. We walked to church. Okay, not last week, but we walked to church at times. Okay, and we love being there. But because of that, and because of where we're located, we have a lot of company. And sometimes company just shows up, or they call and say, "Hey, I'm on my way over." And again, I have four children, okay? And there is usually stuff everywhere. My wife teaches kindergarten in our school, and that life just happens. And so we'll get a phone call, "Hey, we're swinging by in about 10 minutes. Okay, everybody run. My family knows the drill, okay? Under the beds, right? All the clothes go in mom and dad's room, and we throw everything in mom and dad's room, and then leave the lights on and leave the door open so company can see it? No, we throw everything in mom and dad's room, turn the lights off, shut the door, and tell the kids, "Don't you dare open that door," okay? No one is to step foot in our bedroom. And then company comes, "Oh, your house looks so nice. You know, don't go in that door. Don't go over there." But you know, it's exactly what we do with the Spirit of God. If you look at your body, one man wrote, as a home. And each part of your body is a different room of your home. You say, "God, you know, you can have my hands. I will work for you. You know, God, you can have my feet. I'll go where you want me to go. But don't go to my mind." See, I've taken the sin and I've taken the filth of the world and I've put it right here. And if you will, I've shut the door and I've locked it and I'm holding on to the key and I'm not letting Christ have it. I'm not letting the Spirit of God have it. Could be my hands. Could be my heart. "God, I'll go where you want me to go. But my heart's always going to be here." You see, the Spirit of God cannot use you, and you cannot fulfill your commission if you've shut the door to that sin and you've locked it and you've not let the Spirit of God have it. How much of the Spirit, or how much does the Spirit have of you? Have you locked the door? Have you kept Him from coming in? The commission, I've got to follow Him. And if I follow Him, the key is the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God needs the key to my life. Number two, I've got to check my ambition. Take your Bible and go to John 4 now. "When therefore the Lord knew the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." You know, I've got parentheses around that. You know, he must needs go through Samaria. We know the Lord had to do that. That was a divine appointment. But I've also put in my Bible, it's a picture of the church. As you know, as you guys have been taught your dispensationalism, we in the church age are in a parentheses, right? And so we had the law being fulfilled, and the Old Testament prophets knew the kingdom was coming. They knew the millennium. They saw aspects of all of that, even in the tribulation. But then came this parenthesis called the church that they knew nothing about. Then one day the church is going to go poof and come out, right? And then those parentheses are gone, and we're going to pick right back up where they left off. This is the parentheses, if you will. What does the church do? The church has got to go through Samaria. We've got to reach others for Christ. We've got to make time for others. What's your ambition? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to do? Do you want a name for yourself? Are you out to see, you know, how many followers you can get on Twitter? Okay, what's your ambition? Christ's ambition was to go through Samaria. Why? Because he made himself available. Your ambition in the local church should be to make yourself available to serve in the local church. How can the pastor put you to work when you're not making yourself available? Christ made himself available to those with spiritual needs. You know, Luke 19:10, you know it. I came to seek and to save them which were who? Lost. Where? They were lost. You know, there's times, young people, where we've got to set aside Clash of Clans, right? Don't say that. There's times, young men, where we need to turn off the Xbox One. Okay? Some of you probably really need to turn it off, but according to your grades. There's times where the earbuds need to come out and the beats need to stay off. How in the world can I make myself available when I'm walking through Walmart like this? When I'm sitting at Starbucks like this? See, I'm not. You must needs check your status update. You must needs check whose clan is clashing your clan. And you've totally missed your Samaria. The Bible says we must needs go through Samaria. We've got to make time for others. Are we seeking and are we looking for them that are lost? He made himself available with physical or personal needs. John chapter 8. Quickly turn there. I'm out of time. Let's just move on. Number 3, you need to recognize your position. John chapter 13. You can write that beside it. What did Jesus do? He took off his garments, okay? The high priest, Leviticus chapter 16, before he went into the Holy Holies of the Day of the Atonement, he took off his beautiful garments and he put on linens. Nothing. Plainness. Young people, if you are going to be serving God with your life and you're going to give your life for the Lord, you can't go with who you are. Christ says, you've got to put yourself off. I don't care about your talents. I don't care about your personality. I don't care about your agenda. Okay, I don't care about your grade point average. I want you to put that aside. As Jesus Christ went to wash those stinking feet of the disciples and a traitor, he put himself off. He was, and you look at the verse that we read earlier, he was the one that had all the world in his hands. He was come from God. He was sent from God. He was God, but yet he humbled himself and he washed the disciples' feet. He took himself and he put himself aside. Philippians chapter 2 says he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. Finally, number 4, I must be in complete submission. If you're going to serve in the local church, in the passages John 18:11, if you're going to serve in the local church, number 1, you must understand a living sacrifice stays in God's word. A living sacrifice stays in God's word. If you engulf yourself in God's word, God will use you in the world to accomplish his work. If you engulf yourself in the word, God will use you in the world to accomplish his work. You've got to stay in the word, young people. I don't care if you've got it memorized, get in it. Stay in it. And number 2, if I'm going to serve in the local church, I must understand that a living sacrifice submits to God's will. Not my will, but thine be done. Peter cut off Malchus's ear, John 18:11. He said, must I not do what the Father sent me to do? You're adults now. It's time for each one of you here to find a church. Not just to be a consumer, but to be a manufacturer, a producer. The local church needs you, and the local church is waiting for you. Just make sure you understand your commission, you check your ambition, you realize your position, and then you stay in complete submission. Father, I look at the potential of these young people and oh, what an impact they could make on the church. May they take the words of God today from the book of John and apply them to their lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.